So now as far as concerning what the Lord gave me this morning, I was praying, and Wednesday night, we were almost through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. A couple of people wasn't there, so they were asked not to go on, continue on. So I was just, I shared something different Wednesday night, and went off and forgot what I was going to bring Wednesday night. But then I opened up my briefcase, and I had a book. It's got Sharon's name on it, so Sharon, don't let me forget to get you your book. Because it had her name on it. But when I went to Army meeting 2 weeks ago with Danny Dillard up in Salisbury, there was a lot of tables set out for, you know, people they invited, and it didn't have a big, big turnout, but had a good fellowship. They had Andrew Womack's pastor's partner, the one that's over the pastors at AWMI, came down from Karis and spoke. Him and Danny spoke for about an hour and 45 minutes. But they left us books. Don't limit God. They had a bunch of them set out, so a bunch of people didn't come. So Danny said at the end, now, anybody wants to grab some books and take them back to your church? And so I grabbed a whole table section and put some names on it. You know, I didn't get enough for everybody, but, you know, we can order some more. Amen. You want the Word, we'll get it to you. That's what we're about, is getting the Word to you, getting it in you so to get it, God can get it out of us. And so Wednesday night, I just was rambling around. I'm like, man, I forgot my magazine. I was going to share a little bit out of the victory of Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland. And I left it at home because I get two of them. I get one for Word of Faith and one for Robert and Sherry Jackson. So there's magazines out here sitting in the vestibule. CDs, free magazines. Take them to people, sew them. A lot of people have not heard the good word that's in these magazines, that's on these CDs. I hadn't heard them, man. I was in the earth for about 25, 30 years, never heard of some good preaching. You know, you go to church because mama said go to church, and you straighten your life out. You straighten up, boy. But nobody told me how to do it. Amen. Until I got around Brother Kenneth Copeland, Brother Hagin, Andrew Womack, Jim Howard. And then I started to see, man, there's more to this Christian life than just going to church on Sunday. The Bible says to just live by faith. We got to live by faith every day, no matter what's in front of us or behind us. Amen? We just got to press on. And what was I talking about? I was talking about something. Where was I going with that? Anyway, get back to that book that's got Sharon's name on it. Don't limit God. So I just started a little bit on Wednesday night out of that book, and we went all the way to the back. Then Colette, it talked about your imagination. Anybody been to Disney World? Walt Disney had a vivid imagination. Where did it come from? It came from God. Now, you can take your imagination and you can make it dark, or you can give life to it, get the Word and give life to it, and have a great imagination. You know, just, I'm not going to turn there, but if you go back and study Noah, in the days of Noah, it talks about how that man's imagination was evil continually. Didn't even have a good imagination. Their imagination, what they were seeing in their heart, was evil continually. Except Noah. He said, God says, he found grace. See, he found grace. He found a good imagination of what Noah believed about God. It hadn't got darkened by all the things of just look at the world today. Things that's bad and what's happening and all the things that's going on. Immorality. I was thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah today. I'm like, well, you can about name it in our nation. But you know what? Lot still got out, didn't he? God still loved people. And there's times to get out. I mean, get out. Exit. Get out of that stuff. Somebody's got to get them out. Somebody's got to show them. A lot of people don't even know the darkness that they're in because they never had the light. They never had the love of God, the truth of God, to get them set free. Amen. Because religion is like bondage, like over in Children of Israel. That man, they were just in bondage. Amen. Over religious spirits there in Egypt. But God had Moses. He was working on a plan. Amen. To get his people out. And God didn't like them suffering 1 minute, 1 second. But it takes, God's got to work through that curse in the earth that man brought in. God didn't bring it in. Man brought it in. The devil's working. And God had to work a plan. So he had to work back through his man. He's not a thief. He don't come in and just change the plan. And he when he speaks something, he can't lie. God can't. Amen? So he's got to use people, and he used us. So as I was reading that book, we're right there in Psalms, in your Bibles here. Psalm 78, It's where we're going to study a little bit this morning. Psalm 78. Singing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 78, and that's a pretty big psalm, so we're going to go over to Psalms 41. I even got mine circled, and I didn't circle it for today. I got two circles in this psalm. If I circle something, that means that's important. There for a reason. I mean, all the words important, but when you put a circle on it, I got Kenneth Copeland's, you know, that Bible he sent out, his personal Bible, got all his notes and highlights and all that. That's important to Kenneth, amen. He highlighted it. So when he starts teaching and preaching it, man, he's got some revelation. So that's revelation when you highlight it and mark it. You know, my wife, she uses pink, yellow, blue, purple. And I start going through the Bible, and I'm like, man, if I was colorblind, I couldn't see a thing. She got so many colors in her Bible. I mean, it's kind of like the pages are almost all kind of colors. You know, purple and blue make what, pink? All kind of, they just all kind of colors. She's got a rainbow Bible. But, you know, that's my wife's Bible. I don't highlight that many. Amen? But Psalm 78, 41 through 42. It says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power the day when He redeemed them from the enemy, when He worked His signs in Egypt and His wonders in the field of Zoan, turned the rivers into blood. And what God is saying here, when God sent them out and He instituted the Passover, and He told Moses, this will be a sign for you. This will be a feast unto you. On this day, on the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you will. And then He instituted this Passover, what He was going to do. Take the lamb, a blemished, spotless lamb, without blemish, and do it a certain way. And God said, this is going to be a covenant, a feast that you'll keep from, tell your children and your children's children. You're going to pass it down from generation to generation. You know, we have heirlooms that we pass down. They're important things to us. We pass down to our children. And it's not because, and some of them might be worth a lot, but some of them might just be a pot that my grandpa cooked rice in. Mama's got that. It's a coffee pot. She uses it to cook the water. But I remember Papa, he put rice in it. It's his favorite rice. He'd boil it, put some butter in it and milk. He didn't like dry rice. It had to be milky rice. And he used to sit there a couple of days. And what he didn't finish, Mama went on to be with Jesus. Well, he didn't eat then, he'd eat it for supper. But I can remember that pot sitting on that gas stove. When Papa passed on, went on to heaven, Mama got the pot. It's all beat up, and it's just an aluminum pot. But to her, it was her father's. Amen. It was special to her. So when God said, this is going to be a feast unto me, God's telling Moses, when I come and I'm going to pass over, you're going to put the blood on the doorpost. What's he doing? God's painting this Jesus. You know, I heard somebody be like, you know, somebody was talking about having a mural on the wall here. Now, we probably wouldn't put a mural because it's got all this texture. But you see, that's your imagination. You come in here and you see things. So that's how we got to see the carpet. You got to see this sample, but you got to see it in here. You have to use your imagination and put it over there. Amen? See, God, that's given to you from God. And that's what the Passover was doing. The blood was going to be was representing the blood of Jesus that would come in the future. But until then, God was still faithful to what He said. And He said, Moses, do this. Because tonight, the destroyer's coming. The destroyer's coming. But He says, but when I see the blood. See, we're getting into the message here. When we see the blood, I'll pass over. I'll pass over. And He kept His word. And He said, now stay in the house. See, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit never leaves. He comes in, He never leaves. Now, we can grieve Him, but He never leaves. We don't have to apply the blood. You know what I mean? We don't have to apply the blood once we receive Jesus. Now, we have to make a conscious decision that I am under the blood. You know what I mean? We don't have to apply the blood and get into this works. I'm not taking anything from that saying. The blood has already been applied on Calvary's cross. Jesus did it once. Eternal redemption. Amen. But I got to remind the devil, I'm in the bloodline, buddy. You see what I mean? That's how you apply the blood. You remind the devil whose you are. Amen. You apply that. And he's got to, oh yeah, he got to bow and leave to the blood of Jesus. You know who you are. Amen. He got to back up. See, the devil wants to get right in your face. They're out there in the world, people possessed by the devil. They want to get right in your face and spit at you. Now, for the gospel's sake, you're supposed to love them. But if he's there to try to bring you harm, you get the word out like a sword. And you use it on him. Amen. Because the devil, the Bible says, some you've got to snatch out of the fire. You got to get the word out there like you're on fire. Let them know who you are. I remember Andrew giving that testimony years ago when he was young on that plane. Anton LaVey used to be over he was the high priest of the Church of Satan. One of his disciples sat down beside Andrew Womack on the airplane, and there was a battle that went on because Andrew got his Bible and started talking about the Word, and here's the disciple of Satan sitting right beside of him, and that devil manifested. But Andrew manifested the Holy Ghost because they just got into a word battle, and it was on. You'd have to listen to his story, but it was Andrew let him. He didn't let the devil reign and rule over him about his God. Don't tell me about my God. Andrew knew God. He had a revelation of Jesus, and it wasn't. This guy over here that represented Satan. I mean, his beard was all scraggly. He was like a homeless person. Worse than that, hadn't bathed and anything. It was his own. It was a good story. But Psalms 41. Here's God is reminding us that we can limit Him and what He can do in our lives. And as I was thinking about that, and I read that Don't Limit God by Brother Andrew, I looked up and God said, the sky is the limit. That's the message today. The sky. Because yesterday, it's been raining. I hadn't had a chance to get the yard mowed because of so much rain. But you know what? That's what I got a big mower that can take care of high grass. Amen? Water's good. I ain't rebuking the water, but sometimes we get too much and we have to speak to it. Amen? Slow down. Turn that spigot down a little bit. Amen? See, God's not controlling all that, right? He never created the earth, the rain on the earth. See, it's all out of whack. But then He gave us Jesus to get it back in order. Amen? See, God is a God of order. Rain is good. Clouds with rain is good. But not too much, because then you get a flood. God said, I'll never flood the earth again, right? So he's not about flooding His earth again. So we have to watch that water. Speak to that water. Amen? The sky is the limit with God. The sky is the limit. I keep asking Rowan, you know, your children, you want to look at the potential that's on the inside of them, and you're not there to tell them what you're going to do. You're there to try to let them know what God's called them to do. So you want to try to draw it out of them. And sometimes I like to play with the kids just to get them thinking about my purpose. Because, see, I didn't have a purpose before God. I didn't know. I was just going with the flow. I look at other marriages and my brothers and sisters. I say, well, you get married, you have kids, you work hard, you try to save a little bit, you get to the end, you die. You hope, you know, I'm thinking about God too, but I didn't really know if I had didn't have a revelation of God. You know, you just kind of look at patterns. But man, God created us a pattern that we can live by. The sky is the limit. Amen? And I look at Rowan, and of course, all my kids, you know, we all have divine purposes. But I'll look up there and I'll see them airplanes and say, Rowan, I said, God calling you to fly, be a pilot or anything. They make pretty good money. Nope, Dad, not going to fly. Just real quick, you know, a couple years, Rowan, look at that. That's a big old jet. You sure God ain't calling you to be a pilot? Because I tell them, you know, God's called us to go teach people faith, to go out and travel a little bit. That sure would be nice if I had me a pilot, if I ever had a plane. He said, it ain't happening, Dad. Not me. So, you know, I'm just poking at him. And I'm not saying he's a pilot, but I'm just saying, look up there. Whatever God's called you to do, I mean, that's awesome what man has been able to do with their imagination. And sometimes we just belittle ourselves of that. You know, you look at a Bill Gates or you look at a Donald Trump and you're like, man, that's awesome. But why not see yourself that way? In other words, take the limits off of, well, this is, in other words, don't put on that sound system back there. I'm learning. We got gates and compressions. In other words, if the pastor, Randy, was up here last night, we were setting some levels. He said, now, preacher, do you ever get loud? He said, do you holler, preacher? And I know Randy, but he said, I said, well, not really. I said, because, you know, some preachers, they just loud when they start preaching. I remember pastor over there at Church of God. Now, Lewis pretty loud. I'd have to amp him. Dad, we had to put a big gate on Lewis when he starts preaching. We got to get him a mic set up on channel, last channel. This is Lewis's channel. Nobody, we got to work on this. Okay, we're going to tune him in. I like to pick on him. I can pick on him. You love me. God love me, don't you? God love me, don't you, Lewis? But see, we're geared different. God don't want us to change our gears. Amen. He wants us to be in gear all the time. So he was asking me, are you loud, preacher? I said, well, not really. I said, I'm kind of even keel. I said, man, when the Holy Ghost impresses something, I said, I get more bold. I might say it two or three times. And he said, well, say something bold. Because what he was trying to do last night when we was up here, it might have been the night before, when I was standing here with lapel, I'd go, things were blaring. I said, we can't have that Sunday morning. So what he was doing, he was finding frequencies that were interfering with these house speakers. And once he'd find them and locate them, he'd take them out. I'm like, wow, he just throw them out of the system to where when I walked over here, I don't get no... And so we got to learn how to do that. Well, see, let's take the limits off God. When there's something you think, well, there's no way I could do that. We got to find that and say, no, I'm renewing my mind. I can do that. Don't take it out of his system. Take that old unbelief out of our system. We got to gate it. We got to get it out of there. Get it out of there. Amen? And that's what he does with sounds back here, to make things sound good. And see, if we get that old unbelief out of us, and we're in this world, don't think you're going to wake up in the morning and all the unbelief's going to be gone and you ain't got to do nothing. No, this is pastors, Christians, everybody, non-Christians. You're fighting the same thing every day. It's called the curse that's in the earth. And until God gives us a new heaven and a new earth, the sky is still our limit. That's what we're attaining to. The Bible tells us to look to Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher of this faith. The faith don't have to be changed. The faith has already been put on the inside of us. And that's where the limit comes in. What can I do? It's just like that royal wedding. I heard, and I haven't heard, but I heard the priest that done the wedding done real good. Talked about how big God and how good God was. See, that's how we grow our imagination. And see, a lot of people have a dark imagination of God, don't they, Lewis? Dark imagination. Think God's bringing destruction. See, and all this stuff. Amen? He's not. He's the author of life. He gave us life. That's all He has to give is life. Amen? We limit God when we do not keep His Word alive in our heart. See, we can have His Word in our heart, but are we keeping it alive? That's where I kind of really focused on that. Because, see, we can have all this Word. Come to church, get the Word, buy CDs, go home, listen to the Word. Listen to the Word, read the Word. But unless we keep it alive, active, keep it active, man. Keep it alive, it's not going to change anything. Because, see, I heard about being saved, what I needed. I heard about my sins, all the sins I had committed. But until I believed in my heart, believed what? Believed God raised Jesus from the dead. Didn't say nothing about my sin. He took that sin. In other words, I believed that God loved me and gave His Son His life for me so that I could be free from sin. When I believed that in my heart over 19 years ago, I got changed. I was born again. Right then, the limits were taken off. But I didn't understand all that. So I had a faith walk I had to get into. But when I was hungry for God's Word, I wanted His Word, I wanted the truth, I found out God was a God of order. And to follow Him, God put people across my life. Dr. Howard, Dr. Price, Dr. Gary Colstead in Mooresville. All points of contact that were getting me where the sky's the limit. Amen? Amen? So, and even in Dr. Howard and Gary Price, It's for all of us. There's a limit on each one of us. We limit God. Take it off. Wherever we think we are, Jim's on a new journey. Jim and Wanda's on a new journey. A next course God's put for them in their life. See, we got to keep the limits off. See, Jim's got he done a good, awesome job pastoring. Still is an awesome pastor. But what's the next things God's got for him? Well, he might look and say, well, I'm 82, 81. God's not looking at Jim being 81. He's looking at His Word being alive. Amen. Moses was 120. Now, it's up to Jim how long he wants to be here too. All of us, right? Long life. I'm satisfied. Lord, I'm satisfied. I'm ready to go home. But until then, the Word is life. He don't look at age. He looks at His Word. And if we'll keep it stirred up and keep it alive, this flesh is just going to have to be denied. Denied its right to overrule the Word of God. In other words, body, you got to carry me until Jesus carries me home. Until His angels carry me home. So get up, body. Shut up, body. You got to tell it to shut up. Get up. I'm talking about my body too. I ain't as young as I used to be. Amen? You got to talk to things. Speak to things. All the time. Because if you don't, they'll speak to you. Put a gate on them at unbelief. Take the Word of God to the world, guys. We need some help. Amen? Wanda's going to be up here playing this piano some more. We got all this thing dialed in. She can come up here and give us some more piano playing. Wanda's strong in the Lord, in the power of God's might. Amen? He's in the palm of our... He's right there, His hand. He's got the whole world in His hand. More than that. He can hold more than that in His hand. Because God, He's big. He's a spirit, and He gave us life. He created us. Amen? So we limit God when we don't keep His Word alive in our heart. We have to remember His mighty works. Now, we just talked about the children of Israel in Egypt, but I'm talking about what mighty works God has done in your life. Remember them. Tell them to your children. Even when your children, you're around people that they probably say, "Hush, Mama. Hush, Daddy. Don't be talking about that faith stuff right here, Daddy." That's when you want to talk about it. Amen? Politely. Do it in a way that you're going to give glory to God. Amen? Not your flesh. You're not there to tell all these things you did in faith. Because I can tell you some stuff I did, and it was stupid. Amen? But God saw my heart. He said, I know. How many times as a kid you done some things your mama told you not to, and you're like, man, that was stupid. Hey, I about set Daddy's shed on fire. I got lots of stories to tell, but God just pops up at ones every now and again. Now I can start pointing at you. What'd you do? Me and my cousin out there. Now, Dad was a carpenter. He had a nice bandsaw, had some expensive tools out in the shed, and had a horse. I like to ride horses. I don't like to ride horses. Big horses. He had big horses. And he'd have a horse there. Well, he connected the horse shed to the other shed. And man, I can remember me and my brother, because our house, it was about maybe 10 yards from the shed. And my brother would sit there with a BB gun because it had big old rats underneath that shed because there was horse feed in there. So those rats would get in there and eat all that horse feed. Man, there was big old rats underneath that shed. My brother would get there, and when they pop their head out, he'd shoot them from the window from the house. Pow, pow. Shooting those rats. What was I talking about? I was talking about we about set the house on fire. Me and my cousin had all Daddy's tools in there. Now, Daddy, you didn't mess with Daddy's stuff. You know, I told you he was rough anyway, drunken, but, you know, sober. Still don't mess with his stuff. And my cousin come over, so we're out here playing with gas. You know, out there in the garden, right behind the shed, you know, draw a little line, light it, and then, you know, follows it. Stupid. Boom boy stuff. Neither one of us grew up to be a fireman either. So see, it wasn't God's purpose. But so we're out there. So, you know, we're making that trail longer and longer. Man, let's see how far. It's kind of like, you know, those westerns you'd see. They light that dynamite and they'd pull the, what was that? That gunpowder. Probably where this imagination came from. Not me, my cousin. See, my cousin's about 2 years older than I am. So let's draw this thing way out here and we can get it. Well, you know, he gets excited and he dropped it down. So he wants to run back over here to light it. Well, the dummy left the can over there. Instead of bringing the can over here. So when he lit it, it went and then it hit the can. Boom. Here's a fire right beside Daddy's shed. And I'm like, Mama, Mama. I go running. Mama, Mama. Mama, there's a fire out back. You know, it's like, well, I don't know how it got here, Mama. There's a fire. There's a fire. So Mama comes out. You know, Mama's smart when you're about, gosh, kindergarten. I don't know how old I was. I was stupid. She comes out and she gets the hose and she, you know, there's the big old hose sitting. Why didn't I think about that? I was thinking about fire, fire. Daddy's gonna whoop my butt. Mama come out there and got the garden hose and took care of the fire. Then she took care of me. And my cousin didn't get a whoop and I did. That wasn't right. I didn't play with gas no more. But I tell you what, I mean, that's kind of like Adam and Eve in the story that song Jim sang. You know, Eve done the sinning and the eating. Adam got the cores. I got the whooping. My cousin did that, but I got the whooping for it. You know, he's sitting over there. He could have confessed his sin, couldn't he? Aunt Margie, I did it. No, he watched me get a whooping. So, where are we going with all of this? Remembering God's mighty works. That was before Christ. Amen. Amen. That's right. Exactly. So, kids have imaginations. Amen. But a lot of times, without godly counsel, without good parents, man, and back then, those were days you just leave the doors unlocked. You go outside and play, and you might hear Mama call you about 6 or 7 o'clock, time to eat. You might be in the lake swimming. But anyway, we've got to tell our kids the good things, great things God has done for us. I've seen Leslie posting things on Facebook about an individual getting healed from cancer. Man, and she was in hospice, gave up on her, but she didn't give up on the Word of God. Stirred that Word up, came alive, got healed. You know, yeah, we're all going to, our body's got to die one day, but why not? We just go healed. I mean, we just lay down and be healed. Go to heaven healed. Amen. Healed and well, healthy and wealthy. And leave this place. And leave an inheritance. Leave that to your children's children. Leave them a note. Leave them a big note, man. Just, I ain't going to tell them what to do with it. I'm just going to let them know, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours. Do it what you want, but honor God with it. I would say that. Because, man, if you honor God, He honors you. Honor Him with your finances, He honors your finances. Honor Him with your body, He blesses your body. Amen. You give it unto the Lord. It's His anyway. And just give it back to Him. So the sky is the limit. And I can remember as a kid looking up in the sky when trouble was at home, praying to a God I didn't know, but I knew was there. Amen. Looking up to the clouds, knew He was a big, telling Him how big He was. I might have told you this stupid prayer I prayed, you know, because boys, you get a little bit older, you start looking at girls, girlfriends. And I had a girlfriend at school, and she just didn't live close enough. And I prayed, Lord, just have a real big earthquake, Lord, but don't hurt nobody. And just make it to where her house just turns right beside my house. So I could have a girlfriend right beside my house. I believed God could do that. See, I had some faith back there. It was just all working out of order. It was all about the lust, what I wanted, right? But I believed in a God that could just not hurt people and just put my girlfriend right there beside the house. And it never did happen. Amen. But He brought me to Sherry. Thank God. She lived far away. She went to Troutman. I went to Brawley Middle School. Y'all got to be in Mooresville to know that story. But God saw us coming together, didn't He? He knew the right one. And there was girlfriends in between there. They wasn't the right ones. And Sherry will tell you they wasn't. Amen. They wasn't the right ones. Rowan needs to hear this story, and they're not here. So he's 13 years old, and he's going to the bowling alley. You know, we used to go to the skate rink. Right? The skate rink was a big thing. You don't do much skating. So we got to remember God's mighty works. Tell them to our kids, children's children. Let them know the sky is the limit. Whatever you want to do, set your heart. Give it to the Lord. Trust Him. Obey His Word. Remember the things He's done in the past and tell it to our kids so they can have faith in the promises of God. Your faith's got to have something to work on. It's got to have a promise of God. To work on something, to bring it to pass. You've got to have His Word. He can't bring something to pass He didn't say, that He didn't promise. When you get faith in that, you've got it. Jesus said you've got it. Whatsoever things you desire in the Word, when you pray, believe you receive it from the Word, you shall have what you say. Amen? And it goes also in the unbelief. If you believe that unbelief stuff, and you confess it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, it's coming your way. Because God says, don't be mocked. I won't be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And I've seen plenty of, I've done it myself, get out there and plant the wrong seed. Uh-oh, I didn't want that. Go dig it up. Go get it before it starts growing, right? So if you said something you didn't want to say, confess it to the Lord. But go, if you said it to a person, go to that person and say, I didn't mean to say that. Forgive me. Because if you keep on reading Mark 11, 23, 24, it says, when you stand praying, forgive. Man, forgiveness works right with your praying. Amen. When you stand praying, forgive. If you're always walking in forgiveness, when you're praying, you won't have to worry about forgiveness. Just walk in forgiveness, amen? Just walk in that attitude. So through this imagination, is where we can limit God. We have to paint a picture of Him. God had to paint a picture of Himself in the imaginations of His people. That's why He had to do these magic work. He's trying to get this imagination so they can remember. Remember the Lord thy God. See, because your eyes will forget. But if you can get it in your heart, see, Caleb and Joshua, they had the spirit of faith. It was in their heart. And no matter what came against them, they wouldn't let it out of their heart. And they kept it, and they kept thinking about those things that God did. And then God was able to work in their life and do mighty things through Joshua and Caleb and through their descendants because they had that spirit of faith. They wouldn't let it go. They had a picture on the inside of who God was, and they wouldn't let the devil erase it. The devil's out there, and a lot of times he's erasing people's dreams because we let them. We let the devil erase that dream. I can't do that. No, surely. I mean, my mama, you know, with the money we got, my checking account, my checking account, we can't do that. You can. If you take that limit off, let God bless your checking account and your savings account. Amen. Divine connections. There's no way Kenneth Copeland could come to this little church. Huh? Say what? Or Andrew Womack or Keith Moore, all these men of God. I call them generals, man. They've been 35, 40 years preaching the gospel. Yes, they can. Say, thank you, Lord. We'd like to have them here. Bless them. Hear the word. Let them come. I listen to Jesse many times, man. He says, where the Holy Ghost says go, he go. And he pays his way. He used to couldn't do that, right? Until he took the limits off God. He didn't, because a lot of people were trying to limit Jesse Duplantis. They wouldn't even pay him. They'd give him a Dr. Pepper for preaching the gospel. That's about all he got. Sometimes he went. And we're doing a whole lot better than Dr. Pepper here. I didn't even get my coffee drank this morning. Larry said, got coffee in your office, and I never made it there. But the day ain't over yet, is it? I can go warm that thing back up. The main thing is somebody thought enough to make a cup for the pastor. Hey, that'll get you a long way, Larry Honeycutt. Amen. Anybody. What you do for God, God will do for you. Larry might not like coffee. Well, if he liked Dr. Pepper, he's going to have a lot of them. Amen. Because see, God ain't looking at what you gave. He's looking at your heart. And if he sees a heart that's willing, he can work with that. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So get a vision. Don't limit God. Paint a picture. And get a picture of what you want to do. And put it in your imagination. Think, and Andrew said this, and I gotta hold this. Think of your imagination, and moms, you can really understand it, as your spiritual womb. In other words, that's where your miracle is taking place. Your imagination. See, if you don't see it and give life to it, it's never going to happen. And I can remember Dad would come home drunk, and he would talk about his family was the reason that he failed. And that he got a bum knee in playing football. It was because of this, because the guard didn't block it. He got hit. Always passing it on to somebody else is your problem. See, that's a dark imagination. You're never going to see, because all you're seeing is your past. Amen? And we got to see past the past. We got to look past the cross to Pentecost and thank God for the Holy Ghost who shows us our future. And I can remember Brother Copeland, I probably shared this here, but the first, we ain't been to but one convention we've been able to get to in Greensboro. Man, thank God he's coming to Charlotte now. That's closer. And when we put our, me and Sherry, we prayed back then, and we didn't have a lot, but we set aside $100, and we said, we're sowing this right now. We agreed. Put our hands on it. We covenant. And in that memo of the check, I said, I'm believing God for a bright future for our family. And I didn't have but two kids back then. We got four now. Well, see, God saw four. I didn't have but two, but he saw four. See, he's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the alpha and omega, the beginning and the end. But I said, for my children, see, God took the limit off. He knew I had four. And then as Brother Copeland was giving them, you know, you just don't get up here and say, okay, y'all ready to give? Da-da-da-da-da-da. No, it's probably about 30 minutes later you're giving because you're getting some word of what you're going to do with this giving. You get a good teaching or a testimony. And while he was giving that, when he started praying, he spoke a bright future out to the crowd. And I was like, I looked at Sherry and I grabbed her hand. I'm like, whoa, that's us right there. Somebody else might have wrote on their check. But he spoke to me. So that revelation spoke to me. So when my future's not looking that bright, I got to go back into my imagination and start telling God how great he is and how big he is. And Lord, how you're bringing things in that we can't see yet. How you're putting divine connections and that our gift on the inside is going to make room for us out here. Now that gift's talking about finances too. But you've got talents and abilities God can use. Amen. So keep it alive. Keep that word stirred up. Keep that imagination. Man, when God does something in your life and that's done, get another vision. Man, Jesse, I think next vision he's talking about satellites. The Lord's telling, you know, Them things were expensive. He's talking about putting satellites, you know, the TBN network. Paul Crouch, God gave him a vision. There they are. They up there. We're watching it. So if God says speak it, now you can't speak somebody else's vision, but you got to speak your vision. Amen? Now you can help somebody else on their vision, but speak and declare what God has given you. Amen? And that's really what the Lord is really dealing with me with some things is what He's given me. The vision He's given me. And that's where you help people, but you got to keep your focus on your vision. Don't lose your vision. Amen? Because the devil wants division. Paint a picture of him in our imaginations. Think of your imagination as your spiritual womb. That's where it's birthed. The sky is the limit. I think, Terry, we've sang this song, "The heavens are His tabernacle." Glory to the Lord Most High, something like that. But the heavens are His tabernacle. The heavens is God's tabernacle. Think about that. That's big. Let's give Him something to work with. Amen. There's the conclusion. The heavens are His tabernacle. But let us give Him something. See, the sky is the limit. He works in the heaven. He works. He's a spirit. Amen. So if we give Him something to work with, take the limits off. Speak big things. We've got to quit thinking about all the little things. What is it? The Word talks about those little foxes. Pull the vine, those little things. So you got a big vision from God. You start walking in it, declaring it, and then all these little things start hitting you. If we keep focusing on those little things, we'll get our focus off of the big thing. And see, and then what we do, we get limited on what God can do. Because if you read a lot of the victories that God's people, man, they had the victory. He is their shield. He is the buckler. The Word, that's the sword. But then they would start looking at the giants. They would start looking at the Amalekites and all those big soldiers. And they're like little people with bows and arrows. But they're forgetting that they got the favor and they got the anointing of God. That when they shoot that arrow, it hits its target. See, there's a lot of big giants out there. They swing slow. David, he was a fast slinger, buddy. He was kind of short in stature, but he had a covenant with God. He fought a lion and a bear and had won. There's a difference when you fight them and you lose. But David, he fought them and won. And then this old Goliath, this uncircumcised Philistine, he came out there. What are we doing, guys? What are we doing? I mean, David, that stirred him up. Man, that got all in him. He just couldn't go home after that, could he? Give me a sword. Give me something to wear. I'll take him down. And see, that's the spirit of faith. That no matter how big the mountain, just give me Jesus, the rock. Amen. Just give me Jesus. Give me that anointing. We'll get it done. Amen. The anointing will get it done. I believe that. You believe that, Maudie? I believe that. Amen. Imagination. Just let your imagination run with God. Let it run wild with God. Give it to Him. Let Him incubate it. Don't rush. Don't rush the vision. Amen. Don't rush that vision. Whatever He's called you to do, don't give up, Harold. I ain't saying you are. I'm just saying Word of Faith Radio. Not everybody's going to listen to it. But I heard Jim Howard on radio, and I'm here today because I listened and I heard faith. See, faith will draw you. Faith draws faith. Fear draws fear. That's why you got different crowds doing different things. But if you take God's vision, man, He said, I won't let one word fall to the ground. If it's my vision, every word we say by faith, God's going to bring it to pass. Amen? And if it don't work, don't give Him. It must have been God. No, it was you. It was me if things don't work. Because God, He does things right. He's righteous. He's the righteous judge of all the earth. So if you mess up, just say, hey, I messed up. Man, that's the best place to be. If you mess up, just say, Lord, I messed up. Now He'll get you up. He'll get you back going. Amen. He'll stir you back up. Amen. Father, I just thank You. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You right now, Father. The sky is the limit. So, Lord, right now, whatever our imaginations, whatever's been darkened by the devil, by the world, by circumstances, by words, by the enemy, right now, I felt it lift right there. I'm receiving that myself. that the devil's been limiting us on what we can think, because we've been thinking in this world and things going on in this world. And God says, you're not of this world. Don't look to this world to be your source. God says, I'm your source. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. You are our source. You are our healer. You are our provider. You are our breakthrough, Lord. You are our victor. You are our great champion, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, for the words you have given us today, the hope you have given us today, that, Lord, we're looking to the sky. We're looking unto heaven. We're looking unto you. We're looking unto Jesus, that he has authored our faith. And, Lord, he has even finished it, Lord. And right now, on the in-between, wherever we are in our faith right now, we just thank you. We're going to stay hooked up, and we thank you for that anointing right now. And for the blessings that are chasing us down right now, Lord, is going to overtake us and take us to that next step. And we just determine right now that we're going to be warriors for Christ, that we're going to stand and we're going to decree and declare who we are and who our children are and what they're going to do. And what great things, mighty things they're going to do, because that is what you're looking for, is so that you can work great things in the earth through our children's children's children. And we give you the praise for that right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Personal prayer this morning. If you need to come up, we'll be glad to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. The sky is the limit. Amen. The sky is the limit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I see great things out here. Amen. Not just you, I see great things out here in this church and this community. It's going to take us all together trusting God and keeping our minds focused on Him.
Yes.
Yep. He puts all those bodies in order. If he can put the stars in orbit, surely he can move us around a little bit, can't he? I think the stars are probably easier than working with us right now, because they're not like God. See, we like God. We're created in His image and His likeness, but we got cursed. Amen. We cursed ourselves. We cut ourselves off from the branch back there in the beginning, and we suffered. Right? We suffered from being separated from God. Then that's where that dark imagination started coming in. But all we got to do through Christ, we just get hooked back into the vine. Just get hooked right back in. So we just start right back where we left off in the garden. Get hooked back into that tree of life. Amen. And knowledge of good. That we unhook from the evil. Get hooked back into the tree of life and the knowledge of good, knowledge of God. Because the Bible tells us that's how we encourage ourselves, as we look on the inside, acknowledging every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus. It's not in me, it's in Him. And He prayed the Father before he left this earth. I'm going to pray you one, me one, they one. They're going to be all, we're going to all be one. So Jesus ain't never going to leave you nor forsake you, because He prayed that covenant with His Father. You mess up, just tell Him mess up and go on. Amen. Just a work in progress. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.